Blog Talk Radio.
Edition of Sports Tonight, brought to you by Bradford White Water Heaters of Amber, Pennsylvania. Princeton Water Heater, log on to bradfordwhite.com. I'd like to welcome a Philadelphia legend, Mr. Don Henderson. Don, every time I hear that song, I think of that magical day, May 19th, 1974, 5:05 p.m., the Stanley Cup champion Philadelphia Flyers. I just always hear that song. I remember it at that game. You're probably in a press box. Being a fan at that game, actually seeing the Stanley Cup there, and in 1975, I snuck in when the Flyers' victory party, where the bus driver says, "You want to carry some bags?" I said, "Sure." I carry some bags in. And here, lo and behold, was Terry Crisp right by the cup and Teddy Harris. Now, later in my life, I got to meet Crispy as a first-name basis, and I said, "Terry, I got to ask you a question. Back in 75, the old Spectrum, did you see a young fellow wearing a yellow shirt and black pants with a hole in the knee?" "Yes, I did." "Did you see someone drink out of the cup?" I said, "I see some strange kid drink out of the cup and drank out of it. I had a good time laughing." "Well, Terry, that was me."
Well, I'll tell you, it's hard to believe it's that long ago, Tommy, but it's also hard to believe it's written in many of the papers today and talked about on radio and TV 10 years ago in Tampa Bay. I mean, can you believe it's been 10 years?
Oh, my God. Because we're just figuring out the other day, it was in my boss's office, and we're figuring out how many people are still there since 2004, and we figured out 13 staffers are still there. That's how many changes. It went through three ownership groups, the Coolest Group, the Palace Sports Group, then the Mr. Vinnick group up there and that. And my boss looked at me, he says, "Your name's on the cup. I got a souvenir. We made it through." We start laughing at it, and we start looking at each other, start laughing. We made it through. But seeing all of our players there, and I had chance to see Torts at the morning skate on Monday, and I said to Torts, I gave him a hug, John, Tommy, how you doing? And he gave me a big hug, but then Rick and Chief said, Tommy, I remember what Torts did to you. I'll make his PG as all as I can, Don, and everybody out there. We're in Brandon at the office up there, okay? And Torts gets in a separate office up there, and away from the players up there. And that, this is the old days of tape. You know, I had to put the tape recorder in there and then get it for the website. I says, well, John, you got a minute to talk about how practice is going? He says, Tommy, I don't ever effing want to talk to you effing again, blankety, blank, 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 blank. And the chief was, and the chief and Rick were just cracking up, and I was shaking like a tree up there. And then they said, Tommy, get back here. Torch is always kidding him. Says, and I was out there, and I was, the true story, Don, I was out there outside that thing and still shaking. I was still shaking like this, and Torch says, Tommy, it's okay. I said, John, I'm still shaking up there. So we had to get a cup of coffee to get my nerves calmed down and something to eat to calm down that way. And the Torch says, I really feel bad you guys shaking up that much here. So later that day, we went out to dinner up there. I said, Tommy, you better now? I said, John, I'm a little better now, but that's a funny story up there. But the man, John Tortorella, what he did for the Tampa Bay Lightning, behind the scenes, was a great person up there in that, because I remember he was behind the scenes a lot in 2005 and 2006, and he was a gracious individual, always good to the community, and he's always talking to Casey Dowd, Casey Smith, though, about how they can raise money and that. And I said, John, why don't you have a fishing tour? You don't play golf. Have a fishing thing. We got a perfect place to fish. And guys, beyond that, they had a fishing tournament with Torts is here, raised the money for the John Tortorella Foundation. And John and I became friends, off the record became friends, you know, because we didn't want to talk, you know, too chummy before in front of the media. That behind closed doors is a different story. And I got to know the real John Tortorella and the real Steve Ludzik in that. So it was
well,
great
I thought
to see
it was very, very nice the way they were received the other night, Tommy, and not only Torts when he came out, but also the players. I thought that was quite a tribute and really a great moment for Tampa Bay fans.
Oh, Don, it was such a, you know, John Frasnode, he's a legend for the Photographers Hall of Fame, and we're lucky to have him at the Tampa Bay Times Forum. And John did a masterful job of that. And had the players come out there. And I saw Andy before during that day. He was like a kid in a candy store. He's all these guys are coming here. And Andre Roy got stuck in an elevator during one of the games. I see a client and they got stuck in an elevator along with Andre Roy and my boss. So Andre is telling all these stories and that. The best Andre Roy story I could tell you right now, Don, is a practice. He always said, beep, beep. Beep. He wanted practice to be over with. I said, Andre, why'd you do that? He says, Tommy, I want practice to be over, so you interview me and I get out of here. And you see Corey Stillman, likes of, you know, Ben Clymer, and the likes of all those great players. And you know, that team, Don, everybody, I got to know those guys on a day in, day out basis because back then the website was just first starting out, and you had to get that every day for them up there. And I got to know those guys. And Don, this is the true story. I had Brian Bradley and Tim Taylor go over there, throw a first pitch in Winter Haven in our day over there. This is back in 2004. So Tim and I went up to get some soda, some hot dogs up there. Tim's a baseball fan. He loves those great seats right there. But anyway, Tim says, I said to Tim, we're sitting down after he had a couple beers. I had my sodas and a hot dog along with a real good friend of mine. And I said, Tim, this team, we got the addition of Daryl Sador, is going to win the Stanley Cup. I said, how do you figure that? We got the goaltending. We got the scoring. We got the forechecking, yourself, the leadership, you and Andy, the leadership. We needed the four. We needed a defenseman. And Tim, after he won the cup, he says, remember I told you in Winter Haven? He says, Tommy, get over here and get some champagne spilled on you and drink from the cup. True story, Don.
Well, I think the one interesting thing is that people don't realize how difficult it is to come back. And, you know, the difficulties, obviously, after winning the Stanley Cup with the strikes and all the rest. That's all behind us now. But at the same time, I don't think people, fans even, realize how difficult it is, 10 years, how difficult it is to come back. And there's a big story in the New York Post today about Jackson taking over the and 40 years
yes.
ago. I mean, you know.
Definitely.
It is so difficult to come back and to win not only a Stanley Cup but an NBA championship.
Mm-hmm.
It's so unusual when the Los Angeles Lakers were able to do it, the Boston Celtics were able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But you just don't see teams coming back and back and back like that and winning championships.
Don, that's
a
great
point. We have the honor of Honorable Jerry Curzon with us today.
Well, I'd like to welcome the AFL Commissioner, Don, a good friend of mine. I had dinner with him the other night down in Tampa, Commissioner of the Great League, the AFL, Jerry Kurz. Jerry, hope you made your fights okay, and I hope the hockey puck's on top of your desk right now, Jerry.
Oh, it is indeed. It's right in front of me. I did make my flights, left old dark early on Saturday, but I was ever so pleased and proud to have been able to be there in Tampa when the community and all the fans applauded Coach Marco.
Jerry, they did such a great thing. I had a tear in my eye because Coach Marco, what he did for me, he says, Tommy, comes watch an AFL game. And ever since that day, I got so turned on by the AFL, the speed of the game, the kindness of the game, the way the game's been played, officiating. It is better than the National Football League. And what the players get back after the game, they sign autographs and meet the fans, and you don't see that in any other sport.
No, and he was great for being an ambassador and everything else. And what you just said is absolutely true, because we had our first game for one of our new teams in Portland on Monday night, and I got to go there and see the smiles on the people's faces, especially for the autograph session. So everything that Coach helped us roll out, come up with, execute, we're carrying on his legacy.
Tommy, did you were the one that forecast it would be such a close score at the end? You wanted Coach to really worry about it right to the last second? Or, you know, I thought maybe you'd give him a little leeway in the first game. Have the official give him a couple of breaks or something so you get a wider margin of victory.
I always give people the breaks of officiating up there and that. But Jerry, what we're going to do for the Storm, I just talked to a couple of cities, the late Jerome Brown, the next Eagle, Philadelphia Eagle football player. I talked to City of Brooksville about having a City of Brooksville night before Tampa Bay Storm. We honoring the late Jerome Brown, and this is when the Philadelphia Souls playing the Storm, and they love that idea. We're trying to tie in a lot of marketing themes with the Storm, and the people are getting great response, Jerry, for AFL football. They want to see the product about what you put on the field. It's such a great product, and people are getting excited about it again. I think it's fantastic.
No, and without our fans, we don't have anything. I mean, of course, we need our players, but if our players didn't have our fans perform in front of and be the great athletes that they are, we wouldn't have anything. So what you guys do is spread the word. It is tremendously appreciated by me.
Tell us a little bit about your trip to Portland and how the opening was there. As you said, a new opportunity, and what did you think?
It was tremendous. It's a great sports market, great, beautiful town. Got a great local ownership. Just an interesting contrast in teams. San Jose had, I think, five or six rookies. Matt Sock, the new head coach in Portland, decided he wanted to sort of have homegrown players, a lot of local area players, which is always great. But 18 rookies was an interesting dynamic with those guys learning, but they played hard in the end. Had two great quarterbacks, one, the Eric Thomas, you know, who great quarterback from Oregon. Another one, Nate Enderle, who had been with the Bears for a couple seasons back. But the fans there were just so enthusiastic. They were cheering. And we needed to educate them a little better because they didn't realize that you got to stay to the end for not only the autographs, but that our game's really not over till it's over. It was interesting. Coach Sock was talking about in our production meeting for CBS that he knew that if San Jose was down at halftime by 17 points, 20 points, they go, okay, so what? We want it different, but we'll come back. And he was concerned if his team was down that they think the game was over just because they came from the outdoor game. But it was a great game. great atmosphere. The Trailblazers helped put on a game. It's their building, and we're happy to be there.
I was just going to ask you, where are they playing? But they're playing in the same building that the Trailblazers play in?
Well, yeah, the Moda Center, which I still think of as the Rose Garden, but it's the Moda Center, and the Trailblazers are great partners to the team, helping put on the production with their production people. Great-looking building, great-looking community. And the fans turned out, and a lot of the fans had never been to one of our games. But amazingly, over the last number of years, we've had our highest TV ratings for a non-AFL market in Seattle and Portland. So we sort of felt that there was going to be a good reaction.
Well, I'm so glad you guys are out west, because this way, how the LA team, their first game looked, that's another great market you want to be in.
Well, no, absolutely. They played down in San Antonio, and they won by a field goal. So they're a new team. They're about half and half rookies and half veterans. I got to see them in a preseason game with San Jose, and they did well. But, you know, they're getting together as well because it's a new team put together. They're not home for a couple weeks, but on the road they did well. They're in Orlando this coming weekend, so they get to start building that rivalry there as well. But we're pleased with being in the West, but now we know we've also got to strategically fill in some other spots, and we will.
And the Storm, they do not go to L.A., but they do play in Portland.
Yeah, and that'll be a good trip for the guys because, you know, you get to play the great local rivalries, the geographical rivalries, but I always think it's nice as a player to get to go to another market and not only see another part of the country, but place a different competition as well.
Right.
And it's also good. It's also a good bonding trip for the guys to take the flight out west to be together for a night in a hotel room, and this is good bond of the players up there. That's what the Storm's going to go to San Antonio, leaving tomorrow after practice. And I was just telling Ben does a great job, Jerry. You know that he's a legend. We call him Ben the Legend on the AFL for the Tampa Bay Storm. Ben slogans. I call him Ben Legend. He's going to come on 8 o'clock tonight. So, I was telling Ben that's a good time to players us aboard the plane and get to know each other a little better up there and that. And Lawrence has done a great job of Coach Chris Hovind doing a great job of these players getting to know each other. It's a looser football team this year.
Oh, no, very much so. I really enjoy this time of the year because I get an opportunity to show my respect to all the players by traveling to every one of the training camps and addressing the players. And I really enjoy meeting with the Tampa players as well as all the other players. But I get to see them in a non-game setting, and that's always enjoyable, talk to them about what they want, how they got to the AFL, what the AFL can do for them, how it can be a career path, a league of opportunity, but it starts bonding among those players and training. I like seeing that. And you're right, road trips are fun. Besides the game, get to spend the time together as a teammate.
And I think the other thing that comes into fore, the folks in Tampa understand the game. You're talking about them coming out in Portland and just getting associated with the game. But in Tampa, they know the game.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you've got some of the best fans. I enjoyed the game the other night. I like walking around. There's a lot of things I've got to do during the game, but nothing more important than walking around and talking to fans. I walk the concourse up there, see the people there, go around in the different sections, and I really get charged up myself getting to see the fans and the smiles on their faces. People often ask me, what do I do for a living? People that don't know what I do. That I'm associated with football, and I say, I work in an industry where we get to put smiles on people's faces.
Aww.
And get to see that.
Right.
It was just fantastic Friday night there.
Oh,
hey, Tommy, we're joined by the winningest coach this year in the Tampa Bay area for arena football.
Hey, Coach, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine. Hi, guys. How you doing this afternoon?
You sure made it close the other night.
Well, you know, it really doesn't matter how close it is as long as we pull out the victory. So that's all I'm really looking for. I'm proud of our guys. So, they fought through all the adversity, and we got a big win for our confidence.
That's a great win, Lawrence. We got the commissioner on the line, and he was saying how great our fans are. the smiles in the faces, and you put a lot of smiles on our face, especially me, Lawrence, getting that first W. How did it feel getting that first W as a head coach in football?
Oh, it felt really well. It felt really good. It felt good to actually get the team out there and just to see them perform at a high level. You know, we fought through some adversity at the beginning of the game, but guys responded well, and it comes to show how well the staff prepared them for the game in general.
That was the pressure on you, Coach, your first game at home. I wanted to get off to a great start. That was the pressure on you individually.
Well, I've been through a number of games, so there was no real pressure. I think I was prepared for it, you know, being an assistant coach for the past, you know, 2 years. So there was no real pressure. We kind of knew what to expect already. You know, we just wanted to get into the game and get into our game plan and actually, you know, come out victorious, and we did that. So that stress level that you're saying, that I really didn't feel any pressure. I just felt comfortable with the guys we had performing in the match, and you know they did well. You know, I commend them for actually. You know, we didn't even. You know, we committed 5 penalties. And that's probably a first. And we had no defensive offside penalty. So that comes and shows Coach Hovan's been doing a great job disciplining his guys, and they did great. You know, that's all I can ask for.
I know, Lawrence, you put a big smile on my face after post game. You see me smiling ear to ear, and I just thought about that day in the golf course when you said head coach of the Storm, and says, we're going to be playing football, get that first one. So a big smile on my face as you saw Friday night putting that machine up to you.
Yeah, I saw that. And you know what? We put a smile on our fans' face also.
Good.
Because, you know, we hadn't won many games last year toward the end of the year at home. And I really wanted to put a smile back on their face and just to get them energized and get them ready for the season. It was a big win for us. And hopefully it'll carry over into this week as we go out to San Antonio and take on the talent.
Well, Commissioner, every time you come on, you give us some little tidbit of information that we didn't know before, or maybe even people in the league didn't know before. What kind of information do you have tonight?
And I don't know if it's been getting a lot of press, but we're going to roll out Shut Vision, a new innovative device. Adds only 5 ounces to a helmet, and it's got a camera and a sweatband in the front of the helmet. And it's going to be just tremendous for our fans because they're now going to be in that huddle. They're going to be on the field and really seeing what the players see. And as the season goes on, we'll start rolling that out. And I'm really excited for myself and for the fans, and coaches are able to use that during practice if they want to be able to see that view. But I think it's really going to enhance the broadcast. Last year we did a webcam one time, but we're going to do much more of this with the helmet cam now.
See that, Tommy? We always get some information.
I know.
That sounds awesome.
Jerry, great to have you on again, sir. We'll have to get you on in another couple weeks for an update about the AFL. Always a pleasure, sir. And when you travel, so you've been my prayers in your travel, sir. You have a very beautiful
appreciate
evening,
it.
Sir.
You guys take care. Thank you again, Coach. See you in a couple weeks.
Yeah. All right, buddy. I'll talk to you later.
Take care.
Hey, Lawrence, we're gonna have a surprise for you in a little bit here. I can't mention the surprise, but at this time we got a good friend of the program. Lawrence, you know him. He does a great job covering the Tampa Bay Bucks. And he was the first – speak about this, Don. He was the first Tampa Tribune beat reporter for your Tampa Bay Lightning. So you got to start in hockey, Don. And Lawrence, like to welcome, as always, Roy Cummings. Roy, good evening. Talking to Coach Lawrence Samuels, Mr. Henderson, and Mr. Carroll, myself, sir.
Hey, Tommy.
Right.
How you doing? How's everybody tonight?
Everything is copacetic.
Glad to hear that.
Well, we have Roy on here for a second, and the coach, too. I just want to make a comment that I wanted to do at the top of the show. Sort of everybody think about Doug Fernandez, a great columnist in Sarasota.
Oh.
And he's undergoing a little cancer treatment right there in Tampa.
No.
And he's going to be on the shelf for a while. And so I hope everybody along the way will say a prayer for Doug Fernandez and hope he can come through this and have a speedy recovery.
Yeah, you know,
oh my
I appreciate
God.
You mentioning that, Don. Yeah,
yes.
Good friend. And,
yes.
Yeah, we're all pulling for him. He's got a tough battle ahead of him, but, you know, hopefully he's gonna fight through it. I found out about it just last weekend and was devastated. I was absolutely shocked, but he's a tough guy, and hopefully he's gonna fight through it. I know he's got the spirit to do it. That's
right.
That's the most important thing, that's for sure. Appreciate
well,
you.
Well, we were with
that.
Him last Wednesday, and he told us that, you know, he was going to go in on Friday and have some additional tests and then go from there. And he wrote a really terrific piece in the Sarasota Herald himself about
yeah.
what was going on. And then Rolls-Royce wrote another one following that up this week. So a lot of people thinking about him. He's done a great job here in Sarasota and everywhere for so many years and really, really just a top-notch guy.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah. Yeah, we're all pulling for him for sure. I appreciate you mentioning that, Don. That was
definitely.
Nice of you. Cause, yeah, you're right. I read the same column on Sunday, and it was very well done. I'm surprised he had the strength to put that out, but it just tells you about the character of the guy. And
yes,
right.
Ready to fight, and that's good. That's good. You always
well, you know, he said when we were chatting with him before he went in on Wednesday, he said, you know, only a couple of us were with him at the time, and he said, you know, this is one of those things you have to bring out and talk about. You can't just, you know, he said, I want you to kid me like you always did, you know, always put pressure on me. I don't want you to
right.
change anything just because I'm going through this.
Oh, that's good to hear because, you know what, that sounds like Doug. It sure does.
Right.
And I don't think he'd want pity or sympathy. He'd want everybody to kid him around just like we always do. And,
right.
But, you know, just
right.
keep pulling for him and praying for him. That's for sure.
Well, guys, what we're going to do on this program every night, every week we come on, we're going to say a prayer for Doug. Doug's such a great kidder. And Roy, I know I sit with him. He's a big Red Sox fan. And I think I'm going to try to contact the Red Sox to try to get something signed by him because he's been a big Red Sox fan, he's a great comics like yourself and like everybody. Roy, he's one of us. He's one of us in the fraternity of media and the entertainment field. So we're going to dedicate every one of these shows to Doug Fernandez, and we'll say a prayer for him too.
I'm all in favor of that. That's a real nice idea, Tommy, because you're right. He's if Doug Fernandez is anything, he's a big Red Sox fan, a big Red Sox fan.
Absolutely.
Right.
I just sent an email to the Priory up in Wilmington. They have the sisters pray for him. They get the 100 cloistered nuns up there. They do a great job. Hey,
and Roy, I know you know a lot more about this than I do, but I have talked to a number of people here. I guess this is really the top quality cancer hospital in America right there, right?
Yes, it is.
Oh, he's
yeah.
I know he's at Moffitt, and in fact, that was his call to go there, and you're right. As far as I'm concerned, it's by far the number one cancer treatment center in the country, if not
great.
Maybe the world.
Great.
You know, unfortunately, I have experience having been through a similar situation with my mother, and you know, they added 5 years to her life. The people at Moffitt are absolutely marvelous, and I'll tell you what, if you know, Doug's in the best place you could possibly be, he's got the best people you could have, and the treatment is outstanding, and that's a good thing. So, he's got a tough battle ahead of him. He said it's going to be a couple of years of treatments, but he's optimistic, and he's got a good shot at beating it. So let's all keep him in our thoughts and prayers, and you know what? Sometimes we're lucky to be where we are, and I think Doug's fortunate that somehow he landed here in Tampa Bay, and he knows about Moffitt because those people are going to help him out, that's for sure.
No question about that. Everybody you talk to is very, very positive, and, you know, he's got such a positive attitude himself. You're right.
Gosh, yeah.
He looks at it in terms of, you know, where do I go from here, not where have I been?
Yeah. You know
great.
What? I'll tell you what. That is the number one thing. Anybody who's been through it, I have myself. I've been through it with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who's had cancer of any kind, he's got a leukemia, anybody who's got this fight on their hands, it's all about the attitude. When I went through it, my doctor told me when I was cleared, he said, you know what, one of the reasons you made it through is because you treated it like you had a bad cold. And it's so much about attitude, and it really is. I honestly believe that it's about attitude, and you can't look at it like, why me? And it's frustrating.
Right.
It's hard to deal with, but you got to have the attitude that, hey, this isn't going to beat me. No way is this going to beat me. Something else, but it won't be this.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I can sort of follow your lead there because my mother had it, and my late wife had it, and so I've been up and down the road with it, and know what can be done, and how hard they work to try to come up with new ideas every single day.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? You're right, Don. It's all about the fight. It's all about putting up the good fight, and nobody wants this kind of thing, and in their lives, but it touches us all in some way, either directly or indirectly, and we've all been touched again, unfortunately. But it's another life lesson for us all to remember that life's a battle sometimes. It's not always easy, but as long as you keep fighting, that's one of the things. I'll tell you what, it's one of the things you learn from sports. People who aren't involved in it, I think, sometimes have a hard time understanding it, but. Those of us that are involved in it, we know, about the spirit of the game, and you never quit. You always give it your best shot. You never leave anything on the field or the ice or the court, whatever it might be. And you know what? That's how it is when you're fighting a battle like this. You don't leave anything. You don't leave anything out there. You do everything you can, and you give it your absolute best shot. And you get up the next day and you fight again, and you keep going at it. You never quit. You absolutely never quit.
No question, and let's turn the page a little bit because we saw this lightning get down the tubes a little bit, and now things have returned around, and so you're in a better position, you and Tommy, to give us a thumbnail sketch of where they are right now.
I'll tell you what, I took in my first game of the season Monday night. My son's home from spring break, and he wanted to go see a Lightning game, so bought some tickets and caught the game against Vancouver, which
I wish you would have called.
I like. What's that, Tommy?
Wish you would have called.
Well, you know what? I just wanted to play fan that night, and I did, and it was a great time. And they looked a lot better. And, I'm still a little nervous about the way they're playing. Saw some sloppy errors. What I don't like is they're just not finishing games well. They're not having a problem getting leads, but they're having a hard time holding on to them. And that's going to be – if they don't get out of that habit pretty soon, they're going to have some issues when they get up against the better teams to get into the playoffs. But – they got a good month here to fix that. So they're playing better, and Steven Stamkos. I think the most important thing is that Steven Stamkos is starting to find his groove again. He's finding that spot over there on the left wing and right in that left dot. And they're feeding him the puck and getting it to him, and he's getting his shots off. So a lot of positive signs from this team right now, and. Still got some work to do to clean up some areas, but everybody's got that. So they got a good battle ahead of them, and looking forward to seeing how they do on this road trip that they're on here.
Yeah, and Tommy, you can speak on this as well, and then Boston's gotten themselves hot again, and you win 9 games in a row. I don't care what sport it is, you're playing pretty well.
Exactly.
Roy. We have a guest who just came on and just is on a very short time. Lawrence, we wanted to do something special for your first win. So we have someone who played with you prior and has gone on to be a coach just like you. Brett, how you doing?
Yeah. Good, how are you?
Hey, there he
Brett.
Is.
How's everybody
how
doing?
You doing? Everybody's
good.
Great, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. We're up here. We're finishing up recruiting. We're getting ready for spring ball where you guys are getting ready. You guys are already started. You got your first win. Want to congratulate you on your first win. Congratulations, man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it, buddy.
Always nice to get that number one, isn't it?
One's always the hardest.
Hey, one is always the hardest, right?
And you got it against your good buddy, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Well, it had to come by somebody, and good. Like I said, it's good for our guys as a confidence booster. And I'm very proud of them, the way they responded. We're just going to try to keep it going.
Lawrence, were you surprised that the Brett's on the other end?
Oh, yeah.
I heard there was a nice tribute for Coach Markham.
Yes, there was.
Yeah.
What did they end up doing for it?
You got it, Tommy.
Well, Brett, what they had is a great tribute of the life of Coach Markham. And now on the – Lawrence, is it on the helmet or the uniform is going to be TM on there? They have the – Brett, I'm going to try to have Lawrence or myself send you a pin out there. It's going to have TM on there. And the one part of the forum the one part of the forum has the – it's going to be Tim Markham. It's just a section right now of Tim Markham section up there. And, Brett, you know, I was in teary-eyed about that. I was just, you know, it was tears of joy after all the stuff going on in the world, tears of joy, what Coach Markham did to the Tampa Bay area, what he brought when there's no sports down here, guys. He brought an arena football team down. Before baseball, we only had the Bucks and Rowdies down here and won championships. And, all Brett, I talked to you and Lawrence several times. What he did turned me on about arena football, and we just had the commissioner on a couple minutes ago about, you know, arena football. And I couldn't thank Coach the late Coach Tim Markham so much for, A, what he did for the Tampa Bay area, what he did for Storm Fantasy, what he did for the AFL, and it was a great tribute, Brett. I was almost in tears.
Well, I'm glad because Coach Markham deserved it. You know, he was rough and a gruff guy on the outside, but you know, me and Lawrence know how he was on the inside, and I don't know if anybody played for him longer than Lawrence did. So I'm so happy that Lawrence is in the position that he is. One, because he earns it, and he definitely deserves it. But now he's getting his chance to show his knowledge of the game and to be the face of the franchise like Lawrence always was. But also, that a little bit of Tim Markham still left with the Storm, you know, and I know players come and go, but within the front office and with the spirit of the Storm, I'm glad Lawrence is carrying on the torch and of the Storm tradition, and you get back to winning championships and definitely a legend in its own right. So glad to see he's taking over.
Thanks, Brad. I appreciate it, man. You know, and it's one thing that I'm trying to do is this, you know, I'm trying to bring back the old tradition. Although we have new colors, new uniform and everything, the guys have to realize that we had a tradition and we still have that tradition here in the Tampa Bay area that we win championships. And that's one of the things that I'm trying to instill in our guys. They're buying in so far, and I'm really enjoying every minute of it.
Well, what's your biggest challenge that you feel as a head coach that you maybe didn't think that you were going to have, but has been difficult transition from being a player, then to a coordinator, now to a head coach?
Well, the biggest challenge I have is wanting to get back out there and play.
Yeah.
Every day you go to practice, you want to get out there, and you know I demonstrate at a slower pace, but I'm still have that itch, you know. You always have that competitive edge inside of that wants to get out there and, man, I can still do this, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I tell all the coaches, I have another number that they have to call if they want me to come out there, and she's not going to let me do it, so I'm not even.
There you go. There you go.
Jeff, I can see that
you
now.
Feel you can do it until you get hit the first time. And then you,
right.
you better get back on the sidelines.
Yeah,
right. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. Well, what do we got this week?
Well, we have San Antonio Talons. They unfortunately, them, they lost the first game on a last-second field goal, but they have a lot of their players still intact. So it's going to be a challenge for a young Storm team, but, you know, with that said, I think our guys are ready and they're up for the challenge.
Good. You guys pretty healthy?
Very healthy, and that's the key for this season. You know, it rained that one day. It kind of rained us out. But, you know, the good thing about that is that our guys needed the rest. Mm-hmm. You know, we're just coming out of camp. The thing is that I'm big on having our guys have a lot of rest and, you know, up into the game, as long as we know the game plan and stick to our game plan, I think that will be fine.
Well, you didn't learn that from Coach Markham, I'll tell you that.
Not, no.
That's right.
I felt like we needed the first five games of the season to get our legs back under us from camp, but I'm glad to see that that at least that's changed from a player standpoint.
Yeah, it's a different generation, the way you have to treat these players nowadays. It's different. They're not like me and you, Brett. You know, we can go out and run sprints and not complain and different things of that, but that nature. But these guys, they complain, so you have to kind of sell it in a different way.
I'm with you. I'm dealing with the same thing. My kids are just younger. I'm coaching 18 to 22 year olds, and it's the same type deal. So I feel your pain a little bit.
I think every coach now says exactly the same thing, regardless of the sport. You have to work differently with the people that are playing now than you did even 10 years ago.
Right.
That's right. Well, that's exactly right.
Lawrence, where do you guys feel the 18-game season? I mean, is the two extra games, I mean, once you've played 16, you might as well play 18, or do you guys feel those two extra games are you know, not necessarily harmful for the players, but it just makes it that more of a grind, or is it just, it is what it is?
It you can look at it both ways. It is what it is, but also it is a long task at hand. You know, we look for different ways to keep our guys fresh because it is an 18 game season. It's not a sprint, and it's a marathon, and you know, you take it day by day. And the guys, you know, they really enjoy practice the way it's designed now. We don't keep them long. We keep them in the film room a lot, and they're enjoying it. Camp was fun. We did a lot of. We went back to the old school way of having a lot of crossover players, trying to figure out who can play both ways. And
right.
I thought that worked very well. You see, like other night, Mike Lindsay made an interception at Jack, and he's a receiver. You know, things, you know, happen, and he had to go to Jack linebacker. But we trained him to actually be ready for it. And he did exactly what he's supposed to do. And I thought that was a benefit and a credit to our coaching staff, Coach K, Coach Hovan, and Doug Miller. They did a great job getting those guys ready. And it showed. As soon as adversity hit, he came right in, he made a play, and actually turned the ball gamer back around for us.
Well, that's good. Well, it's not like you're no stranger to playing both ways.
Nah.
You know, meanwhile, you got Chris Hovan, who's only played one way in the last
right.
several years. So you're the true Iron Man.
Yes, well, yes, he is.
Which
well,
is good.
Know,
so.
I give credit to them guys, though. They actually, we went in thinking that, you know, with a plan. We started way back when I first got hired. We started coming up with a plan, and you know, with Chris being with us the previous year, he kind of felt that we're on track to actually put something together special. And also with the rules of the game, it was new to him. He kind of understands now. Hey, you got to be a two-way player, and the more you can do in the arena football, because we only carry a 21-man roster going into the game. So he kind of understands now the rules and the ins and outs of it. So he's adjusting very well.
Well, that's good.
Fantastic. Brett and Lawrence, especially you, Brett, number two of Tampa Bay, has your calling card on. He says, come on down and see me.
Oh, yeah. Tampa Bay Golf and Country Club. I still have nightmares about that hole.
Lawrence and I parked on middle fairway, right?
That's right. Brett, one thing I want to say is if Brett has that itch to come back and play for me, hey, I always have my door open for Brett.
Oh, here we go.
That's good to hear. I always told you, hey, if I go down to Florida for vacation, you can count me in for 2 weeks there in the middle of the year.
There you go.
Come down to CSP for a week and play on Saturday and play again on the following Saturday and jump out of town again. So,
well, don't forget you have the chicken run to come to, too. We're still waiting for that.
Oh, yeah. I'd be tired that week.
That's right.
But Lawrence, I'm a little worried about this 18-game season. Somebody breaking my storm record.
Uh-oh.
Man, that's
right.
Touchdown pass record.
You know, all the records are going to fall with an 18-game season. I'm telling you.
I know.
Right.
Us old guys, you know, we get done in the deal, you know.
I know. They're putting up big numbers. The receivers, they're going for 2,000 yards in a year. So, I don't know how they're going to do it, but, you know, hey. The records are made to be broken, right?
Yes. Yep, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. I'm all for it.
Yes, that's
well,
I
want to wish you good luck, and I want to thank you guys for having me on, and
sure.
I'm definitely going to be watching the storm, and now that you guys are on the ESPN3, I can get the channels again, so I can watch it right here on my laptop and root you guys on. But I'm glad you got the job, Lawrence, and I'm glad you guys got your first win because that's always the toughest, but I'll be watching you guys this year, and if I make it down to Tampa this year, I'll definitely stop by and say hi and show them a thing or two.
Oh,
and very good luck with your club, too. You're talking about getting started, with spring practice and all that type of thing. So best of luck with your endeavors as well.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, guys. I'll catch up with you guys again later.
Okay, all right, Brett, thanks for coming on.
Get the baby and see Nick his press.
Thanks, yes. Brett.
Hey, Lawrence, thank you for coming on, sir. We'll get you on next week after a storm victory in San Antonio, sir.
That's right, Tommy G. We're going to win it.
That's right. Lawrence, travel safe and come back with a victory, which I know you're going to do. We'll talk to you next week, Lawrence. God bless.
All right. God bless you, too.
Thank you, Lawrence. Wow, Don and Frank, it doesn't get better. Roy, you still with us, sir?
Right there.
Still here, guys.
Okay, sorry about that, Roy. That was kind of
that's all right.
And we apologize for that. But Brett wanted to talk to Lawrence and there'd be the secret, the mystery guest, like the What's My Line, the mystery guest up there and that. So
it was a nice surprise from the coach, for sure.
Roy's not old enough to remember What's My Line, Tommy. That's, you know, you got to be your age.
I'm showing my age today, guys.
Oh, yes, I am.
He sat there in his jammies and milk and cookies and watched it. He was that young.
Absolutely, I remember What's My Line. Love that show.
Oh, God, I mean, it's just fun. Well, how about our Buccaneers?
Was the host. Kitty Carlisle is on there.
That's right. Bennett Cerf.
Bennett Cerf.
See, now that was,
Kathy Kilgallen.
That was a little bit before my time.
Great.
Kathy Kilgallen, and John Daly was the moderator.
Right.
That's right. That's the golf.
Now, that part
of it
is before my time, but I remember the Phil Mellon seasons, you know, when he was doing it.
Right, I remember
Soupy
that.
Sales was on there as a host. Yeah, I remember those guys.
Yeah, that's right. Like the White Sox.
10:30 to 11 o'clock every Sunday night. What's My Line?
That's right. That's right. I tell you, I'm showing my age right now, Roy, and no Frank and Don know this. And I think it was on ABC. They always had the Friday night, the fights brought to you by a brewing company, and they also had Make That Spare. So I was sitting in my grandfather's lap. I wanted to watch Make That Spare because I was in the bowling back then, and he was watching the fights up there. The ABC had the Friday night fights up there and that. So, and how popular they are coming on ESPN right now. And speaking about fighting, Roy, what about our Buccaneers? A lot of great moves over. One Buck kept me busy last week.
They sure did keep me busy. They're still keeping me busy. I mean, they've signed 10 new players already as it is.
Wow.
And they're not done. You know, Lovie Smith as already said again, said yesterday, it was on Buccaneers.com that, we're probably going to add a couple more. You know, they're looking for a cornerback to kind of pair with Alteron Verner and Jonathan Banks, and they're looking for a third receiver. I don't know if they're going to find him here in free agency, but they're certainly looking for him and may get to those end up being pieces they pick up in the draft. But we got for sure they're certainly adding lots of pieces. So they're doing a lot of work over there. You know, Lovie kind of said that they were going to change out a lot more players than people thought, and he's been true to his word. That's for sure.
They certainly have been aggressive, no question about that, from the very beginning. And as you said, Lovey's going at it full force, and not only Lovie, but his new general manager as well. And boy, oh boy, they maybe take some chances, but they're going after it.
Well, yeah, and you know, it's really simple. I mean, you change the coach, you change the system, you have to change the players. And I'm not sure that a lot of these changes are necessarily talent oriented. It's more system oriented than anything. Granted, in some cases, the talent wasn't up to snuff, or it's not what you know, Coach Lovie Smith wants, but there's no question that he's looking for players that fit his scheme, in some cases players that he knows, that he's had some experiences with, and, you know, so they're going at it. They're making lots of changes and, you know, trying to get a little bit younger at the same time, get a little more value out of some of these guys and the money they're paying them and things like that. So it's a big time for them. A lot of changes coming.
Roy, is he positive about the quarterback position as Sienna was when he made the move? Is he happy with the young man that really sort of developed as the season went along?
You talking about Mike Lennon?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know, Lovie Smith has already named Josh McCown the starting quarterback. He did that the first day he came in. Well, not the first day. The first day that as soon as they signed Josh McCown, he named him the starting quarterback. I don't think that necessarily means that Mike Lennon can't beat him out from training camp, but, you know, I'd be a little bit surprised if that happens. And it also doesn't preclude the Bucs from picking up another quarterback in the draft, maybe even one with the seventh overall pick. We'll have to wait and see. But I think they're looking for someone to just come in right now, kind of stabilize things and, you know, allow the young quarterbacks like Lennon and maybe another one that they're going to pick up in the draft, because my guess is they probably will pick one up in the draft, and let those guys develop naturally, you know, instead of throwing them in there in a hurry before they're ready. Let them learn a little bit, not just from the coach, but from, you know, watching Josh McCown play a little bit. And, you know, and hope those guys are a little bit more prepared when the time does come for them to step in. So we'll see how that works out. But, you know, it's a pretty good plan, I think, that they have in place here right now.
Rory, I'm so glad to see Donald Penn go and Davin Joseph go. Donald Penn, you know, he always talked a great game, but production on the field was always holding on him and also Davin Joseph up there for that offensive line.
Boy, that's a—I don't know, Tommy. I can't agree with you on that. You're talking about three Pro Bowls between the two of them, and Davin
right.
Joseph. He just never recovered from that knee injury. You know, he had a torn patella tendon. He missed, you know,
that's
18
right, okay.
games, including two preseason games the year before. He just had a hard time coming back. I'll agree with this. They had to decide. The biggest decision that I think Lovie Smith had to make was, you know, was Davin Joseph and was Donald Penn, were they done, or do they just have bad years? And I think
right.
I think the feeling was that they were probably closer to being done, and it was time just to, you know, bring in some new blood and start over. And, look, Donald Penn got a job pretty quickly, and I'm not surprised. Davin Joseph doesn't have one yet. I think
right.
someone will sign him. You know, they had Davin Joseph had a very, very tough season last year, no doubt about that. Before that, he was the glue on that offense. He was the leader by far.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Penn, yeah, he talked a good game, and for the most part, he delivered. He didn't deliver last year down the stretch. He knows it. He admitted it. Everybody saw it, and he paid a price for it. But I still think he can put in some quality football for teams. He was an awful good player for this team for 5-6 years. So.
Right.
I'll tell you what, I think we're going to miss them both for different reasons. You know, I don't know the character of the players they brought in. I hear good things about it, but Davin Joseph was as stand-up a guy as there is, and Donald Penn, pretty much the same thing. You know, dealing with those guys every day for the course of the season, those are stand-up guys in that locker room, and they're gonna miss that character, that's for sure. Possibly miss that character. We'll have to see what kind of guys they're replaced with. But they're good players. They were good players,
right.
No doubt about it.
Roy, what number did they pick in the first round? What number are they?
They're number 7 overall.
7 overall.
Good.
Any prediction?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, we just talked about it a little bit. There's going to be a quarterback there for them. I think they've got their eyes set on maybe one or two that they think can be franchise-type quarterbacks, and that could be the pick. But if they don't, you know, if they don't get a receiver here in free agency, you know, there's such, and it's very deep at receiver, but they're going to have a chance at one of the top three, I think, maybe if not the top one.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised to see them take a receiver there and give the quarterback some help. I think they feel that they can get a quarterback in the later rounds, and I know they've got their eyes on a couple of guys that they think can be real value picks in maybe the fourth, fifth round, whether it's the kid Garoppolo, or whether it's Aaron Murray or somebody like that, maybe even a Derek Carr, we'll see. But, you know, to me, when you name Josh McCown the starter right out of the box, as they have, sort of tells me that quarterback is probably not your number one priority. And, you know, my guess is I think they would pass on a quarterback at 7 overall and get it later. But, you know, because they still need pass rushers, they may need a cornerback. You know, I don't know that the nickelback that they pick up in free agency here, if they do pick one up, is going to, you know, satisfy the need for a third corner. You know, we'll see, but they missed out on a couple of guys already that they were looking at. So I think that pick could be a cornerback. More than anything, to be honest with you guys, I think at this point they're in a position to trade down and add some picks. You know, most scouts see this as arguably the deepest draft in years, maybe a decade or more. And we've only got 5 picks. So with only 5 picks, you certainly want to add to it if you can, and I think the Bucs would like to try to do that. And one big opportunity to do that will come with that 7th overall pick. If there's a player there that everybody wants, somebody else wants and wants badly, they'll be willing to swap number ones and maybe add a number 3 or something to the mix and get back a pick or two high in the draft.
Yeah, you took my next question away, because if you have a number 7 pick in the first round, you got to come up with a starter. You have to come up with a guy that's going to play. You can't make a misjudgment on a number 7.
No, you're right. And most people, you know, that's another reason why I think quarterback is, you know, I would hesitate towards thinking that quarterback's going to be the pick there.
Right.
Because I think, you know, again, I know they feel that there are quarterbacks late in the draft that they can get and get a value pick out of. And to me, if you're going to draft a quarterback 7th overall, well, usually that player is going to step right in and play for you. And
right.
That's not the kind of guy, I don't think, to tell Josh McCown, you're going to be our starting quarterback, and then you take the job away from him when you draft somebody. I think Josh is completely aware that that's a possibility. But, you know, one of the things people love about Lovie Smith is how straight he is with these guys. You know, when he tells them something, he means it, and it usually sticks. And, you know, so I'd be a little bit surprised if Lovie Smith tells Josh McCown, you're going to be our starting quarterback, and then you draft the kid 7th overall and he steps in and plays with you. I don't think that'll happen. It will take some, you know, and I'll say this, you know, the first year is you get a grace period. The honeymoon is usually, you know, at least that long. And Lovie Smith could probably right away get away with drafting a quarterback 7th overall and sticking him on the bench and saying we're going to develop him. But if the team is in bad of a makeover as it seems that that Lovie Smith and Jason White believe, then I have a hard time believing that you don't use that pick on a player, as you said, that can step right in and play for you today.
Well, I agree with you, Roy. Roy, always, always a pleasure, sir, to have you on with your expertise. Hope to get you on next week. And the question of the day is, when can you get some time to free up? Because Mr. Baker's asking about you.
I hear you, pal. I'm hoping we can do something as soon as baseball season gets started. Once maybe we get free agency out of the way and all that. So let's shoot for sometime, hopefully April and May.
All right.
No,
wait
a minute now, Roy. The Cubs play most of their games in the daylight, you know.
You know, they got this beautiful thing now called a DVR, Digital Video Recorder. I'll tell you. That thing will be maxed out at about 99% with any game that I miss. So I always take it
right
and watch it.
Always great to talk with you, Roy. Have a good week.
All right, guys.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Roy.
Thank you, Roy. Well, it doesn't get better than this, guys. I'd like to welcome the AFL legend, Mr. Ben from the Tampa Bay Storm. Ben, I even said that we had the commissioner on. I even said that the Ben Slogan, the AFL legend for the Tampa Bay Storm, and Jerry said, "You're damn right." He starts laughing. What a way to lead in, Ben, huh?
Yeah, that wow. I appreciate it, Tommy. Thank you.
There it is. The commissioner said, "I know that, damn right." You know, he said, "We got that on tape for the next week's show." Probably for you up there and that. So, and we had a special guest on. We had Coach Samuels on, and we had his quarterback Brett Deitch, and Lawrence did not know about them. Remember our secret I told you about? You know, it was yesterday. That was the secret for Lawrence to have talked to Brett about that.
Yeah.
And Lawrence was surprised. He'll tell you tomorrow. He was very surprised to have his quarterback on. But how was things practice today? Are we getting geared up for San Antonio?
Yeah, everything's going great, Tommy. We We ready to go for San Antonio. We fly out tomorrow, and game is on Friday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern.
And Coach Samuel said that basically injury-free in game number one.
Knock on wood.
Yep.
Yep. That's a good thing. A big thing that they were trying to do this year is not to have so many overuse injuries. And I think that's what really bit us towards midway, towards the end of the season. And that was one thing that we wanted to correct and hopefully come out of some games without injury free. So I think we accomplished that goal first game and hopefully we keep it going.
And he also talked about the great discipline at the line of scrimmage without having the offside penalties, the defensive alignment not coming up with offside penalties.
Yeah, you know, he mentioned that in his post-game, I went back and I was like, wow, you know what? I don't ever remember us having a game where there was no offsides.
That's right.
Yeah, right. Extreme discipline.
And great play by Mike.
You talk about no injuries, but I do have one that was registered during the game last week. I had to, I sit next to Tommy up in the booth, and every time go wrong, I get a kick in the knees. So I'm filing an injury report Monday.
Yeah, I'll put you on the report.
Oh no!
You better get a physical trainer for him.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys know it or not, but back in Delaware County, Tommy was an honor student. Every other day he was in front of some judge saying, yes, Your Honor, no, Your Honor.
I could vouch for that because we used to get the Daily News, and this funny story is back to high school. You know, Ben, this is showing my age again. We had study halls back there, right? And Don and everybody knows study hall Frank does, right? So I used to have the Philadelphia Daily News in front of me and the teacher would say to me, hey, how come you're not doing your studies? The homework's done. I'm doing my homework now in the sports page. He says, why are you reading that paper? Well, I'm quiet and I'm reading the paper. Just leave me alone.
And I'll tell you one thing. You certainly proved that to be the way it is.
Yeah, that's right. It was funny because, Ben, I tell you this. I don't tell you this story, but I think I have told Don or Frank this. Well, we had a community, career day, right? And the guy was the guy knew one of our guests, Don. You remember, Don? You know him, Al Meltzer.
Came
at our school, and we call him Big Al. This guy was such he was like a Dick Crippen type in the Philadelphia area. So, hey, this would be great, And here it is, 30 years later, look what we're doing. So was it for Big Al talking about that? Look what we're doing up here. So the Lord has a place for everybody, I guess. I don't know. But it's going to be a great – Ben, I cannot wait for next Saturday. I was telling that to Frank. I can't wait for next Saturday night.
This one on TV back here?
That one, the one where we play Orlando will be on national television.
Wow.
Yeah, we'll be on CBS Sports Network.
Great. Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, my God. I just can't wait for it. But the Orlando Predators, when they come to our building, they bring a lot of their fans up there. And Don, it's the greatest rivalry, and I think, in AFL. I mean, both fans are local, and they have a great time up there. And that is a lot of history. Be true.
It really is a great experience. I mean, you look at the records are 26-26.
Mm.
And I think the point differential is, I think, about 8 points.
I believe you're right. Yes.
We're pretty evenly matched always. It doesn't matter how good we are. We could be a 12-2 team if we're playing a 4-and, whatever, do the math.
Right.
But they could still beat us, and it doesn't even matter. It's like when two NFC East teams get together, two division rivals get together, and it's anybody's ball game.
Sure. That's right. But the first, we got to get through San Antonio first and got to go see the Alamo. And once we beat San Antonio, then we'll start talking
The war in I-4 will continue, and that's the greatest week in sports. That's ton to bend on. It's like Browns Steelers, Eagles Cowboys, Eagles Giants, Eagles Redskins. It's the greatest week in the AFL because you're playing your arch rival, and it's all dead even. You throw out the numbers, you're playing your arch rival. It's the best in the AFL has those two rivalries. And I, as Ben knows, I thoroughly enjoy watching practice the other day. A beautiful day watching the guys work. I can't wait for another practice so I get to watch our guys.
Yeah, it's really a great time. We have such a great team, just camaraderie. Everyone loves each other, and it really is just a fun experience going to watch them in practice. And you know, they look forward to playing. They look forward to playing every week, and I think it shows on the field when
don't have a lot of enthusiasm about going to the Alamo. Yeah, not the greatest trip in the world.
That's true.
I went to San Antonio last year, and and I was, we had the River Walk, and I went and saw the Alamo, and I was like, oh wow, okay, that's cool. And I was like, wow, it's a lot smaller than I thought it was. And yeah. And that's about it. That's all I really did. It was we went in July, and it was so hot. I left the hotel at 10:30, and I was like, oh, you know, I'll go for a nice walk. I got back to the hotel at 12:30. I was like, oh, I got to take a shower again.
Oh,
well,
so
the River Walk is great for one night. The Alamo is good for about 5 minutes. And then after that, you can go home.
Exactly.
Well, unless you got arena football game, you got to work at, or else an NBA game on that. But
yeah,
Mr. Legend, great notes again, sir. I got the email. Thank you. Great notes again, and I'm gonna call you Ben Legend on the show. Ben Legend, there it is.
Oh man.
Hey Ben, we talked off air earlier about some of the receivers. Has all the paperwork been done on some of the receivers that weren't in on the game on Friday?
We're just waiting on – the only receiver we're waiting on is Joe Hills. And Derek mentioned Derek mentioned it last week. Joe needed to get some stuff cleaned up in his knee, and that's
okay.
What's been really kind of holding him out. But other than that, he's ready. I mean, he's really ready to go. Personally, he's ready to go. I know he wants to get on the field as soon as possible. We want to get him on the field as soon as possible. And, you know, it is what it is. He'll be fine.
Well, that was a combination with Amari and what's his name on Friday night. They seemed to both do very well.
Hilton, yeah. That was we have such a deep receiving core that when you add Joe in, they have the ability, each receiver has the ability to put up big numbers. And then you add in Michael Lindsay, who is receiver, returner, sometimes steps in as a linebacker, and, I mean, his impact is felt immediately. We saw that last week with an interception.
Sure.
And it's really, really great.
And that's the best thing about the AFL, like as Tony Jerry and Don, everybody. The two-way players like Lawrence was an Ironman. The two-way players, that was fantastic. Lawrence, a great linebacker and a great receiver up there. The play Michael Lindsay had for that INT, Ben, is the best play I've seen since Lawrence had a couple INTs playing when he was playing the Ironman. That was such a great play, and I think it turned the game around.
Yeah, I think it was definitely a momentum shift there. Because after that we scored, and then got a couple of stops last weekend, and the defense is just really great. You know, a lot of people look at sacks when they look at the defensive line, but really, if you just put the pressure on, you don't need to sack. You don't need to sack the quarterback every time. You just need to force them to make those mistakes. And you saw that a lot last game. He was definitely out of his comfort zone. We had Chris Smith, who he always comes up with an interception. He led a team with interceptions last year with 8. He got his first one last game, so he's got 9. I think he's ranked 6th on the all-time Storm list now with 9 interceptions. It's just really – it's fun to watch them, and the offense is fun to watch. It's fun to watch Michael Lindsay returning kicks.
he's only 505 yards off of the all-time kick return list, the whole
wow.
of the record, beating George LaFrance. And that's
oh
a record
my.
that's been around for 20 years.
That's
wow.
right, because wow, that's great. That's a great tribute. To, you know, I see Michael Lindsay do it at home if he has a big game, which is going to have a big game this coming this weekend.
Yeah,
you're going to eat up the yards, and we owe Orlando, I know so many games, and you know we owe Orlando so many games, and I think Michael Lindsay have a great game, and then and next Saturday night, pack the house, Ben. Well, a lot of our listeners, how can they purchase Storm tickets? Or you tell them just go on the website, I guess. Or
you can
or
go online. You can buy them on at Ticketmaster.com. You can take advantage of a flex plan, which would basically you can buy packs of eight or more tickets and redeem the ticket at any Storm home game.
Mm.
And you get two mini signed footballs and a couple other things that go along with it. And it's really just a great it's really a great package. Season tickets you can purchase online. You can go to the McDonald's ticket office at the Forum itself and buy tickets. And it's really just a great, really great night. One of the things we have going on is actually they're doing a Zumba night. You know, the Zumba, it's
oh,
the exercise
yes.
where they dance and things like that. they're putting on a Zumba night. So anybody
oh.
that's listening that's in the Tampa Bay area that wants to get involved with Zumba night at Storm, come on out.
What did they have, Tommy, for the first game? How many? What was the attendance?
It was the attendance was 10,370.
Okay.
That was great.
And that was right on par with what our average was last year. I think we averaged just a little over 11,000. So we were a little under, but for the first game Friday night, I consider that a success. I think if you look at attendance numbers from last year, Saturdays were a bigger draw than a Friday night.
Yes, because so Saturday is the only game in town. It's something to do, and
yeah.
I was telling all of our clients, it's Saturday night's game is great to come out, something to do, and plus after the game, how many times after a game was a you get autographs of the players who played the game?
Mm-hmm.
Win, lose, or draw, they come out and meet the fans. That's what's so
yeah.
great about the AFL. I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, come out and enjoy a football game. It's cheaper than taking a date to a movie, to dinner and
that's
dinner
I've been saying,
a movie.
Ben. I've been saying that.
You're not kidding.
I know what a movie costs, but popcorn and everything else is more expensive than that. Then the fans come out
yeah.
and they have a great time. They sign autographs and you get your football fix for the whole. For the summer, until when
yeah,
until
it really
the
is,
starts up.
It's really great to bridge the gap because
oh, sure.
right as we end, teams are reporting for a training camp.
Exactly.
So you can basically go an entire year with football, and that's
exactly.
what we want to provide.
And, Ben, our season's not going to end in July 27th versus Cleveland. It's going to end at the Tampa Bay Times Forum for the championship game.
Yeah.
I thought the championship game was going to be a neutral site this year.
Well, it's going to be
Tampa Bay
Times Forum.
It changed. It's wherever the better record is.
Okay.
The better record has home field advantage. So if you actually look at the ESPN schedule, because our Arena Bowl will be on ESPN,
mm-hmm.
there's a bye week between the conference championships and the actual Arena Bowl championship. Which will allow people an extra week to figure out travel and things like that. Give teams time to plan, get marketing correct. So it's pretty good. We're really excited about this ESPN deal.
Oh, it's the best deal. I think it's one of the best deals. CBS was great, but everybody in the cable system.
Well, you know, CBS is still a broadcasting partner, and we enjoy
great.
Having them and being on there. Channels all the time, and you know the partnership with ESPN also is
right.
you can't even beat it.
And also Bright House too, and locally here, Ben, we got Bright House. I mean, there's three outlets the AFL games are on, and we can't thank the partners enough to advertise broadcasting games, and it's such a great game to be a part of live. You can't if you watch it on TV, it takes all the fun about being alive at the game live, the activities, mingle mix, and after the game go upstairs on the deck up there or go down on the field and just walk the field because a lot of our fans I've seen the first game were walking the field and the kids are running around. Everybody's having a good time. That's the whole purpose of the AFL.
Yep. All
you know,
fun.
You said earlier, Ben, you said it's cheaper than taking a date to the movies. You're right, because with the two-for-two seats for $76, they're all the way down on the first level. You
mm-hmm.
can't buy a seat at the Bucks for $76.
Oh.
Here you're getting four tickets for the whole season. I mean, that's
yeah.
a fantastic deal.
Oh. Yeah, it really is a great deal.
Well,
and another thing about that is in the Hooters section up there, that those are great seats. You're virtually having complimentary buffet, beer, wine, and soda, and you're right on the field, for God's sake. It's the best seat in the professional football.
Yeah, you're in the Hooters Owl's Nest, which
sure.
is a brand new partner with us, and you're sitting pretty much in the end zone. The only thing that's stopping the players from hitting you is the wall.
Yeah. Unless one thing, the bartender made a great
catch.
As
was
catch.
The case on Friday night when the bartender got the first football.
Yes. Yeah. Tommy's right. Tommy said the ball's going to end up in the cold floor.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's Babber would say that, right? Babber would say that every game. Coleslaw. But Don, you have to go when he's arena football against Ben is such a credential. But you got to go what we're talking about. If it's the ball would kick, probably be bounced. The girls wouldn't stop the ball. The ball, Abba and hopped over the wall and right to the bartender. It's something you had to see up there. And the bartender nonchalantly looked the ball and he went back to make sure his drinks. That's the funny thing about that. Well, Ben, I know you got a very busy day tomorrow. You tell everybody that Tommy G and said God bless and just come home with a W. And you travel safe, Ben. We'll talk to you next week, same time, same station, sir.
All right, Tommy. I appreciate it. Thanks, guys. And remember, you can catch all the action on ESPN3 or on your tablet on the Watch ESPN application. And if you don't have an opportunity to see it there, but you want to listen to it, you can listen to it online at on the iHeart radio station. It's 620 WDAE on the regular radio as well, AM.
And have a great time on the Riverwalk.
I'll bring you back a present.
Oh, okay.
Don't take it out of the river.
You can see it now. Ben, have
all right,
a good
guys.
Time, guys.
Thanks
for coming
it.
On, Ben.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
Bye.
Well, Don, that's our legend, Ben Sloan from the Tampa Bay Storm. I call him Ben Legend, you know, and he. And the commissioner loved that, so which is fantastic up there in that part. No, what a show so far, Don. And the best is yet to come at 8:30, Don, and we have Mr. Chris Wheeler coming on.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, I didn't tell you. We'll make a surprise for you. This is, Frank, we should call the surprise night. Surprise for Coach Sanders
yeah.
or surprise for Mr. Henderson up there. Chris talked to Chris last night. He wants to come on and talk to you, Don, and Roger about the Phillies up there and that.
You were in Clearwater last night?
No, I was not in Clearwater. I was at the long days at the office. I'm going to try to go down there Sunday. I haven't went because Bonnie Clark and Chris Wheeler said, when are you coming down and see a game? I figure, well, I get all the work done. I might come down Sunday, see the Twins come down there, play Sunday up there and that, just to get on the beautiful Bright House Field in Clearwater up there. And it's still a great spot. And Don, I love the press area out there, right? You know, they have those seats outside. Remember the old Jack Russell Stadium? You sat in a place called Whale Beach. And that was the best spot to watch a baseball game because you're right on top
Frank,
of the...
Frank, did you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, you're on. You're on live,
hey,
bro.
Oh,
I didn't know I was gone. Hey, listen,
hey.
Guys. You know what? I just want to say Don Henderson, the new president of the San Antonio Chamber of Commerce.
Whoa! Roger, good evening.
I'll tell you one thing. If you go to San Antonio, you better bring your uniform with you.
Hey, listen, guys. I know you're gonna. Chris is going to be on, but I did want to send a shout out of congratulations. I don't know if you mentioned it earlier, but Troy Vincent was announced a few hours ago as the new executive vice president of football operations for the National Football League.
Oh, that's your
Congratulations. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's a big job. And I think he replaces Roy Anderson.
Ooh, okay.
Just to fill everybody in along the network, and that is that Roger did a show with Troy Vincent for, 4 or 5 years every Monday night during the football season when he was a member of the Philadelphia Eagles. And he was so, so cooperative, and everything he did with you, Roger, you can express it better than I can because you did the show.
Well, I'll tell you, Troy's a first-class person, and he was a terrific football player, obviously in the Eagles Hall of Fame. But Don's right. I did it for 2 years. We did it from Wegmans. Don was on several times. He was gracious enough to give us a couple of hours when we did the show. And the first night, I'll never forget, he did it from Wegmans, which is a very exclusive type of supermarket, specialty store chain up from Virginia North. And he brought a gym bag, and he had youth shirts with number 23 Vincent. And we didn't expect this. And here, all these little kids that came, every one of them went home with a free Troy Vincent shirt.
Aww.
And it just said a lot, you know, and autographs. And we would honor the high school players of the week in the second hour. And it was just a great time. And he's a class act. He said, well, you know, he was president of the union. And they expected him to be Gene Upshaw's heir apparent. That didn't work out, as we know. And then he went to the league and came in at one job, and then he became vice president of, player programs. And he has developed so many programs since he took that job over a number of years ago, including a Wharton School program for players during the off season, and he's taking advantage of that himself. And so now, rightly deserved, he's now the new executive vice president of football operations for the National Football League. That encompasses players, officials, everything.
Well, Roger, you ought to elaborate a little bit on the fact that he left the Philadelphia Eagles and went to Washington to play for the Redskins because he thought that was going to be his next jump right up into, as you indicated a moment ago, into the Players Association, but it sort of turned around at the last minute.
Yeah, it sure did, Don. And, you know, the other thing is that he was a great cornerback, and, of course, Tommy Frank, Don, we all remember that tandem of Bobby Taylor and Troy Vincent, and then they drafted, Lito Shepherd and Sheldon Brown. And everybody thought when Andy drafted them, what the heck is he doing? You know, using those draft picks when they have two great corners. Well, you got to plan for the future. As we all know, the National Football League means not for long. And Troy did go to D.C., and he became a safety. And he was with Buffalo for a short time, and then he got injured.
Roger, I'd like to break in. I'd like to break in right now. I'd like to welcome a good friend of ours who does a great job for the Philadelphia Phillies. It's an honor and our pleasure to have on Mr. Chris Wheeler. Chris, welcome to the program. Of course, you know who you're talking to. Roger, Don, myself, and Frank, all Philadelphians who love you dearly.
And Leo.
Welcome, it's an honor. And Leo, welcome to the program, sir.
That's a lot to remember at my age.
I'm right with you, Chris.
Hey,
I'm getting
Chris,
older and seeing your moment.
Well, we went from one Philadelphia player in Troy Vincent on the Eagles side to a 39-year broadcaster of the Philadelphia Phillies. And, Chris, great to have you on the show again. And, you're in the home stretch of spring training. How are things working out?
One thing about Troy Vincent, I know his kid decommitted from Penn State and went to North Carolina State, so I wasn't happy about that.
Well, I'll tell you what it was, Chris. He was just announced. Troy was announced about 4 or 5 hours ago as the new executive vice president of football operations for the NFL.
I saw that. I saw that, and I thought about his son right away. That he said he was going to go. But that was when O'Brien was still there and all. Hey, you know, kids decommit, they commit, whatever. You know, it's one of those things. I wish him well. You know, he's obviously a very, very fine prospect to play college football. So, hey, kids got to go where they want to go. As far as spring training, I don't know what to say. You know, wins and losses, it's awful, whether that means anything or not. But there's some signs there of things you don't like. You know, like the offense hasn't been so hot. Hamels can't pitch until May 1st. Hernandez, they kind of hope to be a starter or a stopgap guy. And he went out and got lit up again today. So everybody knows that the Phillies are not a team that is going to be picked to go to postseason play and have a lot of problems here at the start, here in spring training.
Ruben really has his hands full all of a sudden. What a great first few years he had, Chris. And then all of a sudden, a couple of the big signings, Howard, of course, got hurt and a few of the other things, and it just turned around so quickly.
Well, Don, you know, I mean, you've been in sports your whole life, and you know how that happens. And when a guy starts to go the other way as an athlete, there's no stopping it. Now, it depends on how fast it occurs and how quickly the progression is. And in the case of the three guys that they're still counting on a lot in Rollins, Utley, and Howard, obviously they're not the players they were before, and they've gone the other way. But the organization, and you just mentioned Ruben Amaro Jr., the general manager, feels that they still have something left in the tank and that they'll be able to contribute and put a big year together. If they do, this team immediately is a lot better. If they don't, then it just expedites the changeover that's going to have to occur.
Chris, I'm going to go on record.
I was in Sarasota last week, and Don had talked to Larry Boa, and I've been a big fan of a couple of the kids that are on the team. Michael Franco coming up, you know, from Reading, and I love Darren Ruff. I just think if you let him alone, play him somewhere, he's going to produce. But talk a little bit about Franco, because as Don said, Larry told him, this kid's the real deal.
Well, right there, that's good enough for me. If Bo says it, Roger, we all respect Larry Boa so much. And I mean, you guys know that I've been joined at the hip with him, for better or worse, for over 40 years. You know, he and I, we've been so close and talk about so much about baseball that he's one of the guys I learned the game from. And I really respect his opinion. I haven't seen enough of Franco. He works with him all the time. He's around him. But all I can tell you, what you see, you don't teach, and that's the ball explodes off his bat, a cloud when he hits it. He looks like he has an idea at home plate. You still pitch to him like you can to all young players because he's very young. But he looks like a guy, you make a mistake, bam, he's going to hit it. And he'll just get smarter and smarter. He has a tremendous arm. I haven't seen him play enough third base to see whether or not he has the range and quickness and all that to be a big-time third base. They think he could be. They think he's more of a first baseman down the line. But he is a tremendous young prospect. And he's one of the few guys we have right now who's young, who you look at and say could be an everyday player fairly fast.
Chris, that he would, he would not go with the present club back to Philadelphia this year. You know, he still needed a little work. But the other thing he talked about was the tremendous hands he has. He said, he's got the softest hands at third base. You talk about moving over to first. I don't know about that, but he really just talked about, you know, what great hands he had at third.
He does, John, and he's aggressive. The thing that they say about him when you see him a lot, is he has a tendency not to make routine plays because he gives up on them a little bit, or maybe it comes too easy for him, or things like that. And you know, the great big league players are the ones that make the routine plays, because that's what most of the plays are. And the spectacular, terrific. But most of them are the ground balls to your left, to your right, or a couple hoppers that you make in the course of a game, and they have to be made. And these spectacular plays, well, they're all terrific, and you love watching them, but that's not what makes a great major league.
But Chris, how's Reed Brainiac doing for the Phillies and also Sean Kemp? I've seen those guys for the Rays in about 2008, 2007. I was down there the other day. About a month ago, and I said, "Hi, I wish you guys the best of luck." And he says, "Oh my God, Tommy, you're here." We start talking hockey every time I'm down here. Start talking hockey. And said, "I want to start talking some baseball with you guys." And I was just thinking how those guys are coming out in the Phillies camp so far.
Well, real quick, let me follow up on Ruff too, because Roger mentioned him. Tom Ruff is an enticing player. because of his offensive ability to hit the ball out of the ballpark. They don't have a place for him to play right now. And whether or not they can find one or find enough at bat, and he has a double whammy going for him in that he has options. And they have other guys that don't have options. And you guys all know what that means. You know, I have to go and explain what that means. So we'll see what happens with him. But I would love him to see him as a bench player in the club because he can hit a home run. As far as Brignac goes, I think he's AAA insurance if they keep him. And Camp has been a guy who's kind of a fringe keep right now as a middle guy, not even a setup guy, you know, sixth, seventh inning guy, sinker, slider type of guy. I think he gave up some runs over at Dunedin today, but who knows? When you're playing over in that place when the wind's blowing out, I don't know what it was like. I just saw the box score, and I didn't see the hits. But he's one of those guys that knows how to pitch. He competes. He's got a rubber arm. Every team needs a guy like that. But for me to tell you he's going to make the club, I couldn't tell you that.
Okay, that's
well, interesting. You brought up the point about making the everyday play, Chris, and it's great to I know you probably haven't had that much contact with Buck Showalter, neither did I before I came down here. He's been here now for 4 years. But to listen to Buck Showalter before the games and after the games and just around the batting cages, so that's all he talks about. He talks about the second baseman giving the shortstop the feed, giving him the ball in the right place, vice versa. He is such a fundamentalist, and you're right. He talks nothing about great plays. He only talks about the plays you have to make.
Mm-hmm. Don, that's the game. The game, one of the great, there's so many great things about the game. You know, I love it. You love it. And it hasn't changed a whole lot. And I don't know how they figured out to put the bases at 90 feet, you know, 100 and some years ago, and it would still work. But the thing, too, is that you get three outs in an inning. And if you give a team four and five outs, you're going to lose games. You just are. And many times they don't show up as errors, but they're plays that have to be made by major league players. And if you don't do that, and our club has been terrible defensively the last few years after being one of the best teams in baseball for a lot of years, and that's why we were so good for so many years, if that doesn't change, it's tremendous stress on your pitcher in a small ballpark like we have. So those things are really important. They go fly under the radar a lot of times. But as a baseball guy, I watch that all the time and think, well, that's four or five outs in that inning, and look what happened.
Exactly. I do the same thing, Chris, when I watch the Rays. My pet peeve is a starting pitcher doesn't throw strikes, and they get the guys in the bullpen, they start picking the plate in the corner, so I said to myself, just throw strikes. I remember the Rays in Baltimore last year played a five-hour marathon. We didn't get out until 1:30 in the morning, and the Rays kept on bat on back, and the Baltimore guys bat on back, but my pet peeve is if you're a reliever, throw strikes, don't pick the corner of the plate, and, I guess my gander up every time.
Well, those kind of guys get managers fired and give everybody ulcers. And there's a lot, you know, the strike zone's too small nowadays anyway. I don't know what to say about it. You know, we used to have umpires, whether it was good or bad, and, they'd expand it a little bit. But now they've got all this stuff where they're graded so much, and I think they're a little jumpy sometimes about calling guys out on strikes. That's a whole other thing. But if you can throw them and not throw them right down the middle, and you can get strike one, that's another thing that's never changed in our game since it was created. Probably the best pitch in baseball is to get 0-1 because all of a sudden the hitter's defensive. 1-0. They're not defensive anymore. So it's very important to throw strikes, absolutely.
Hey, Chris, going back to your great foot off.
When the MLB network, radio network, they've been talking about the overextension of these young kids growing up as pitchers where they are allowed a certain number of innings in a league. Well, then they go to a second league and they're allowed more and, you know, the whole process. And, you know, the reason was because of all the pitchers that have gone down in spring training, and we're going to have Tommy John surgery. I think the Braves have two of their stars. And have you been involved in any of that discussion, or what are your feelings about that?
I don't know the answer, Roger, because you have two schools of thought on that, but they're babies to the point where they don't throw enough, they don't long toss enough, they don't throw, and that they're on pitch counts all the time. And then all of a sudden you see this rash of injuries. You have some old school guys out there that want guys to throw a lot more and think that they should be pitching a lot more. And then you have what's going on here in spring training this year. I have no idea. I'm not a doctor or a trainer or anything like that. And to me, it's very, very disturbing to see the number of pitches that have been shut down already in spring training.
Exactly.
That's amazing. Chris, what was your greatest memory being a part of the Great Philly organization? World Series 2008 or got to be the 1980 World Series? What's your favorite part of winning the World Series those 2 years?
Both you hit it, Tom. The two rides down Broad Street are the greatest field in the world, especially for somebody like me who grew up in the area. So I not only worked for the club all these years, I'm a fan, and I'm a Phillies fan. But 1980 was my favorite team, and Don can identify with that. He knows why, because those guys, I grew up with those guys. We were all in our 20s together and went through the disappointments of the 70s when all that stuff happened, when they were so close. And in those days, you only had to win three games, playoff games, and you go to the World Series. So the 80 team, that was the greatest thing that I ever saw since I've been in baseball. The 2008 parade was the most overwhelming sight that I've ever seen, because it was even bigger than 80. But for those guys to all win in 80, we all went through it as young guys, that was fun.
No question about it. And I'll say one thing, that to me, you know, I've seen a lot of series, and you've seen a lot of series over all these years. But I'll tell you, that Houston-Philly series in the playoffs, I don't think you can match that.
Well, I know if I need a hearing aid soon that certainly contributed, because that noise in the Astrodome in those games, those three games, Don, was the darnest noise I've ever heard in my life. I never spent a lot of time at rock concerts, so I just like that. In that dome, in those 3 days, that was definitely.
It was unbelievable. I mean, and not only that, but the series of plays. I mean, the umpires, nobody knew what they were doing at one point. I mean, it was just a whole series. It was the umpires. It was the players. It was great plays. It was home runs. I mean, you couldn't have asked for anything like that.
Well, all you got to do is go and say the Phillies were down in the sights of Game 5 to Nolan Ryan in the eighth inning with six outs left. And the next thing you know, they were winning 7-5.
Right.
So that was just an amazing, amazing series with so many things, as you said.
Chris, came back to 1980. I was living in Cleveland at the time, and I said to my son, my dad says, I'm going back for this game number 6 for the Phillies up there, and that. So luckily I got a ticket, got in there, and I seen a part of history. So I was right with you guys, but I was a fan in, and I just couldn't be happier. Then 1980, then 2008, they get to actually cover the World Series for the network. It was a great series for me, because see your team of your past and your future bowed on out, and luckily the team in my past won the World Series. So that was, you know, that's my two things. I saw the Phillies two World Series as a fan and also covering it. So I was very tickled about that, being a Phillies fan all my life, Chris. I was thrilled about that.
Well, we've only won two of them.
Got to get that hat trick in there, that's for sure.
Chris, the one thing we talked about, I think the last time you were on, and I talked to Bo about it when he was down here last week, and did you ever in your wildest dreams think that Mitch Williams and Larry Bowe would be the commentators on Major League Baseball and do as good a job as they've done?
No. With Bo, Bo's the most amazing guy in the world, because I can't believe he can censor himself. So that's just the most amazing. And when I say censor himself, I mean in a lot of ways. But after a while, there was no doubt how good he was, because he has such a good feel for it, and he's so bright and all those things, and he cares so much about it. And Mitch has a real feel for the game, too, for a guy that people – look, a lot of Mitch games and stuff went on to the mound. He'd be the first one to say it was an act, and it worked for him, the wild thing and all that. You watch Mitch throw a ball normally, and he didn't fall on the mound the way he did with the pitch. So that a lot of that was a shtick and all. Drove Jimmy crazy, Jim Pergoski and all that. And no, I'm happy for both of those guys, for great broadcasts they became, and to know both of them and to see that happen to them is really a good thing.
No question. I have to say, I thought they were the two best. I'm not taking anything away. I'm not saying the other fellows aren't just, you know, very good too. But I just thought Mitch analyzed the games afterward as well as anybody ever heard. And you know, Bo was right on top of it. I mean, every play that really, things that you talked about, the fundamentals that you talked about earlier, and he's such a stickler for that. I mean, he when you talk about four outs, he could see five outs instead of four. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Well, and you talk about a guy that made the routine plays, he made them as well as anybody done.
You're right. Exactly right.
There was good news to speak, Chris, about Mike Schmidt and his recovery from some serious surgery.
Well, it was great to see him the other day and to hear he's very upbeat and positive about it, what he's been through. We all know how insidious that melanoma can be. So, you know, you just cross your fingers that everything's clear. And he keeps doing his checkups, everything's all right, and he just moves on, and it's a conversation thing in the past for him. We've lost too many real good friends in the last 5 to 10 years. I know
yes.
I sure have. And when I heard something was wrong with Mike, the first thing I thought was, oh, no, you know, we don't want to lose him because Mike is really at peace with himself now. He's much happier than he was when he was a player. We love having him around the organization and get to see him now, and he laughs and smiles more than he did. So, you know, you want him to live a long time and stay with the organization and do the things he's doing with the Phillies.
Amen.
Yes, no question.
I'll second that motion. I remember being a Phillies fan watching Mike Schmidt at the Ovechkin Stadium on a Sunday afternoon. It's such a great feeling being a Phillies fan. You know, you come up to bat, and actually, back a long time ago, I got to meet him and shook his hand. So, I was thrilled being about that sometime. But I look back at 1980 team where Dallas Green came in there and what he did stir it up. I seen that time after time again. I got to believe that 1980 team was my favorite Philly team, Chris, because I seen these guys from spring training year after year on TV, the Bowers, Luzinskis, and finally they won. Once he beat the Houston Astros that series, I consider we're in the World Series and we're going to win the damn thing.
Hey, Tommy, the bull was here last week when the Phillies came down. I don't know how long he's been down with you, Chris, but he was here last week. I had a great chance to chat with him.
Oh.
Yeah, he's been around. He has the barbecue, you know, at the ballpark, and he's got some stuff for the Phillies on fan stuff, and they're involving a lot more of the alumni now in spring training, as you guys know, and Bull's been involved in that down on the bench, talking hitting and in the cages with guys, and I know he enjoys that. I don't think he don't want to be in uniform all the time anymore. He don't want to work that hard, but he certainly enjoys a week or two of it.
But I just enjoy that 1980 team, and it's just so funny, Chris. A funny story I got to tell you with Charlie Manuel when he let go by the Indians. I saw him at the Rays press box of Tropicana Field one day. And I used to play golf with Charlie and the celebrity things with the Indians. I said, "Tom, you think I ever get back to being a manager?" And I said, "Charlie, you with your expertise, you'd be a manager." And a little bit of hold, I got a phone call. "Hey, Tommy, I just got hired by the Phillies. How are they?" "Charlie, the best organization in professional baseball. You love the players and the fans." And after that, he said, "Tommy, you're right."
we loved him, too, for a lot of years. He was great to be around. I had a wonderful relationship with Chuck. And look forward to seeing him during the summer. I hope now he's going to work for the club.
Oh, got it. This time, Tommy G said hello. I'm hitting that ball straight. That's what he used to say down there and that. But I remember one day we still managing the Phillies. I go in his office and he says, "Tommy, come in there, sit down. How you hitting that golf ball? How you hitting that golf ball?" I said, "Charlie, sometimes good, sometimes bad." Well, you see him, Chris, tell my very, very best. And I'm going to go on record right now. The Philadelphia Phillies will win the National League East. I just got a gut feeling.
Oh,
Chris.
Please. Wait a minute, Tommy. Hold on.
Oh, there's a kiss of doom.
Got a gut feeling.
Where's Leo? I can't imagine he's been quiet.
Leo's
one
of the Blues here.
I know Tommy's taking a trip to Colorado now because he's on a marijuana high when he says that.
well, no comment, but I'm not going there.
I'm gonna predict that, Chris. I'm gonna go for the reunion up in September, and I'm gonna say, when you win, ready to win that last home game for the division championship, you're gonna say, Tom, you're right.
I hope you're right.
I'll be watching the box scores and praying for those guys up there, and that's I want my Phillies to win that championship or get in the playoffs. One of the two will be very extremely happy.
All I want to know before Chris loses, what's his handicap now? That's all I want to know.
All right, what's that, Tom?
What's your handicap?
My index is 14.2 right now.
Okay.
So, you know, that's where I am, somewhere in that area. You know, mid to high 80s or low 90s, somewhere
you're
in that area.
You're pretty good, then.
No.
I'm doing fine. I'm competitive. I'll be 69 this year, so the odds are I'm not going to get a whole hell of a lot better.
Hey, you gotta play like Henderson does. You know how he gets better? He's got an eraser on the end of the pencil.
Oh, no.
Sounds like Boa.
Oh, no. Hey, Chris, when you come down next spring training, we'll have to go tee it up. Me, you, Don, and Leo, and Frank will have to tee up one of our courses that we know down here. That's for sure next year.
You got a deal, guys. It's great talking with you.
That's going to be fun.
I
tell you, tee it up with that.
A lot of fans that are going to miss you, and I ate a breakfast last week twice at Denny's and had a lot of conversations with a lot of fans. And Lenny's. I said Lenny's. Oh, I mean Lenny. So my wife is sitting with me here in the car, and I'll tell you what. Thanks for a great, great career in broadcasting.
Sure. Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate that. I kind of want to stay away from that subject. And I said they had to do in their opinion. I said what I was going to say about it. And it's time to turn the page and move on. But I had a great time. I respected every minute that I was in there, and I loved every minute. I tried my best. And some people like you, some don't. We all know that in this business. And I'll be honest with you, the last 10 years, I really didn't give a damn anymore, whether they liked me or not. You know, you wanted them to like you, but it got to the point where I really didn't care anymore. So it's nice to hear, and nice especially to hear all those people at Lenny's who like me because nobody was drinking yet.
Right. Oh, no. Coffee. What's in that coffee, guys, right?
That's all.
But, Chris, that gives you more time to be interactive with the sponsors and fans and more time to play golf up in Philadelphia. You get the better end of the stick, I think.
Well, we'll see. I haven't missed a road trip since 1976. It's been my life for so long. And, and everybody says it's going to be fine. Well, I don't know that it's going to be fine until I go through it. So I appreciate that, and we'll talk about it next year, and I'll let you know how it went. But right now it still hurts, and I'm going to miss it.
Well, I'll tell you, Chris, I couldn't agree with you more. Once you know, those road trips are a lot of fun, the camaraderie, the fun you have with the people you work with, and, you know, it takes a little time. I know it did for me. When you're off the road for a while, it's a different world.
Yeah, well, I appreciate everybody's encouragement and positive attitude about it and everything, and I really do, but I got to find out myself now. And I will pretty soon because the season's going to start without me.
Aww.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I think the one thing, you know, that you might find that will help you is the ability to go out and see a lot of minor league games that are close by and see these kids play.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll do some of that, Roger. I just don't know. You know, I'm going to go to most of the home games. And when the team's on the road, I may have some things to do. I may play golf. I don't know. It's all unknown to me right now. I've never had time off in the summer unless we were on strike, and then you couldn't enjoy it then. So
right
now, it's all new. It's all new, and I'm going to find out.
Best of luck, and I hope we get a chance to see you in Philly or get a chance to play golf or something up north.
All right, guys. It's great talking to all three. I appreciate it.
God bless you, Chris.
Okay.
Thank you for coming
on.
Keep in
touch.
Yes,
okay, safe
trip
home. All right, guys. See you.
Oh.
Bye.
Wow. Doesn't get better than
what
this,
a
guys.
Great guy.
Oh, my God. I mean, I remember when I first met, I should have brought this funny story up, right? Because I used to work for the Blue Jays, just to, you know, down here for, like, you know, for the winter up there and that. And they'd come through my gate, you know, and they. him and Tony Siegel, right? And And I saw him at the local establishment up there and that. And we had a great time, couple of drinks up there. And the Phillies and Jays would play each other up there. And here comes, we're staggering coming to work. We had a couple of adult beverages and that. And Chris says, "Oh, my God, you're still here. You made it." I said, "Yeah, him and Tony Siegel are there." So every time we made a habit of, you know, meeting him up at a local establishment, have a good time up there and that, you know. When I went back to Fed Off, I enjoyed Chris Weaver so much in the broadcast. He broadcasts like the fans' level. The most of these guys, he broadcasts at high uppity up. But he broadcasts like Don, like what Don did the Sixers, Roger, when you did your show. You broadcast on the fans' level of a broadcast. And that's the perfect way to do it. This way the fans get into it. The Joe Sixpack gets into it rather than the elite guy that gets into it down to their level. And that's what you got to do in sports today. But that's, you know, that is their loss. Chris is a tough Fed Off in. Whatever comes around goes around. Once he gets back to Philadelphia, I know he's going to be, you know, it's going to be tough for him at first, but once he gets to start playing client golf and doing this, he's going to adapt fine.
He will.
Well,
it's
going to be a major change for him, Tommy, no question about it. When you've been on the road as long as he was, 39 consecutive years, and even a little bit more than that when you think about that, he was on the road a little bit when he was in the PR department with Larry Shank, but it's going to be a whole different life, no question about it.
And I think he's going to survive great when we see him next spring or give him a call during the All-Star break. He's going to say, "Guys, you're 100% right. I love being home." He could go to the shore for weekends. He'd go to, you know, Penn State football games when they start up. He'd be more time at home and still get the chance to be down in Clearwater. So it's basically he'll have the best of both worlds, I think.
Yeah, I really do hope you're right. I hope it. You know, and who's to say? Maybe he'll decide after 1 year that he wants to go work for another club. You know, there's still opportunities to broadcast for another team, and maybe he'll decide that he wants to go in that direction.
Exactly. The door's wide open. With Chris's experience in broadcasting, public relations, the door's wide open, especially in the sports market, guys. We can take a name like Chris Wheeler with the Phillies, you know. You know, some team will say, "Hey, we'll jump on you in a heartbeat up there," and that, and it's the best way to go. And some good news, guys. Good news out of Toronto: Tampa Bay Lightning 4, Maple Leafs 2. Steven Stamkos has a hat trick already right now. He's the interviewing guest on Sun Sports, and then the Lightning's home a week from Monday for a 2-game homestand versus Ottawa and the Islanders. These games are very important. 3 goals and 3 shots. So baseball turns. Steven Stamkos is 3-for-3 tonight.
What Don was just saying about Chris maybe another club. You know, I'm just thinking. Look at there's three minor league Phillies clubs that are within a short drive from the Philadelphia area where he could be giving some color throughout the season at three different teams on the radio.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Exactly.
He can be doing a lot of different things. No question about it, Roger. That's a good point.
Exactly. Well, guys, Frank says TikTok, TikTok, and you know what that means up there. So,
yeah.
Don, always a pleasure. Thank you for coming on, sir, to Fed Off Village, and Don Henderson, Mr. Handler, Roger Handler. Great to see you last week. Thanks for coming on again. Mr.
Thank
Leo,
you.
See you Friday night. Fire in a hole, fresh fry. Looking forward to doing that. And then I'll give you a head count for that Dallas game. And guys, thank you so much for coming on. God bless everyone.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun, and we'll do it again.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you for that. Take care of that. And I'd like to thank Chris Weaver for the Fed Off Your Phillies, Roy Cummings for the Tampa Tribune, Ben Dietz of Indiana State University for coming on. I'd like to thank Lord Samuels, head coach of the Tampa Bay Storm, our commissioner of the AFL, Jerry Kutz, and most of all, Bradford White Water Heaters. Repurchase the water here, log on to BradfordWhite.com. Also, the Abbey Course, St. Louis University, got a great foursome going on. 4 could play for $80, as most of any greens fees around here. Tampa Bay Golf and Country Club, 27 holes of golf. Give Tim Baker a call. He won't call us, 352-588-5454. Tampa Bay Lightning's home Monday and Wednesday of next week, 813-301-6600. Tampa Bay Storm is home versus the Warren I-4 in Orlando a week from Saturday night. Give them a call, 813 813-
301-6600 or TampaBayStorm.com. Frank, what a show. We'll put this one in the books. Can we top question of the week? Can we top next week?
Well, I don't know about that one, Tommy.
I don't know either. Frank, have a blessed week. Well, I'll see you. See you on the radio. Thank you for again, Frank. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Tommy. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week. Grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces and the men and women of Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and you see someone in uniform, just walk over and say thank you. It means the world of good to everyone on in the job. These programs are also dedicated to those who've lost their lives on the job. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Onofo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogle, Longboat Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy of the Plymouth Township, Pennsylvania PD, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer Sean Collier, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, and Deputy Jonathan Scott Payne, the Orange County Sheriff's Department. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your field and the sun shine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hallow of his hands.
Shema Ezahir Ma Son Hashem Nevorat Fet Hakuig Again Ma Ma
Dispatch in 1999. County Dispatch to 1999. County Dispatch to 1999. All units be advised, 1999 was responding to his last emergency. May God bless his soul.
Good night, Bob. We miss you. We love you.